السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
هلال
الله يحييك، كيفك؟
الحمد لله، I'm well. How are you?
الحمد لله. Came rushing.
What'd you say?
Came rushing. I was a bit rushing.
Yeah, but we still got here 15 minutes early, which is...
It's funny how testing life is to your own principles, because yesterday I was talking to someone and I said, don't rush. Rush kills your inner peace. And it was easy and nice when I was advising, but I found myself rushing coming here.
When we got on the phone and you said you might be, you're gonna, inshallah, you'll make it on time. And then we hung up. I had this urge. I was like, let me call him back and tell him not to rush. It's okay. But then I was like, he doesn't rush.
It was just few minutes where I kind of let go of my guard and I find myself rushing.
Yeah.
And then like, what are you doing? It's not gonna make any difference except that you... going to take away your bees, and yeah, then it will affect the rest of your day.
Yeah, it really does. It's the worst. When I'm in the car rushing, it's not a good feeling.
It's just like running within your own skin.
Yeah.
That's what hyperactivity is.
There's nothing you can do. You're in the car. Khalas, you're going to get there when you get there.
That's what hyperactivity is. You're running while you're not, while you're sitting.
Yeah.
Kayfik ya baba?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm just, when I came back from Bali and we did a video, someone caught, when I told you, yeah, I just spent 17 days in Bali, I'm back, nothing's going on. Someone commented like something along the lines of, I can't wait till the day I said, I just got back from Bali and nothing else is going on. So it's interesting. I found that comment very interesting because I take it for granted that my life is like a vacation now, but I think it's because... it's not that I take it for granted, sorry. I don't recognize how luxurious and vacation-like my life is because I'm constantly working so that my life can be a vacation. Do you know what I mean? That I don't really sometimes enjoy that it's a vacation. So now, since that comment, so bless that person's soul, I really appreciate how...
You know, I liked my work so much most of my life that...
It feels like a vacation, yeah.
Yeah, that taking vacation was a punishment. And
okay, that's a little extreme.
I don't understand what vacation is. Like taking a whole month and not work.
Yeah, it's not appealing to me.
No.
Yeah, same. I actually, it would be counterintuitive for me.
I will be doing something creative in places and among people that I like.
Yeah.
Traveling to certain destinations, combination between a few tasks and really absorbing and
I agree, same for me.
But this leisure time where I have certain days to kill just laying down.
I have not
experienced this in almost never.
I get that.
Alhamdulillah.
I get that.
Tell me.
Yeah, I'm just appreciating moments more now.
Subhanallah, the sense of appreciation is what gives life depth and value.
So my algorithm has been a little weird on YouTube and Instagram, where like the tarot readers are popping up again and I keep avoiding them, you know. Even Dania started reporting them as like fakeness, which she's just funny. But anyway, this dude made a video where he's like, it's that his algorithm as well has all these like tarot readers popping up, and he's like, why are they back? What is the universe trying to tell me? But through that algorithm, I think part of that umbrella, you know, the people who talk about law of attraction and manifesting started popping up for me again too. And some I listen to, some I don't. But there was a girl who did a video where she just broke down how everything you ask for is inevitable. And I thought that was very interesting because obviously I've read Eckhart Tolle, I've watched Abraham Hicks, I'm also a Muslim and a Sufi, I know what our Prophet alayhi salatu salam said, what our Quran says, which is لَأَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ, if you are grateful, I will give you more, which is just another way of saying gratitude is the key to life, right? And I think it was great to just have the refresher of the how is none of your concern. And the OG listeners know when we used to film at Podster with Neetu, how I've said I've written down a list of things that are up to me and things that are up to God. And whatever I put in God's column that khalas, I've let go of and I've just asked for God and it doesn't concern me, I literally remove from my brain and I don't even worry about the how because that's on God's list, not for me. But it was a good refresher to just remember that the how is irrelevant, and that the second you have asked for something, God and His universe have already begun to set into motion all the tasks and all the little players and pawns to start to deliver to you what you asked for. So to remember that the second you ask for something, tam kun fayakun, is very interesting to remember. Just that, so you just have to be in a state of gratitude as if it's already happened.
I've been talking to my team a few days ago, and it was almost what you said, but I kind of phrased it slightly differently.
Do you mean to say you phrased it better?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because in haqq, there is no better. It's just different. That's why we have tariq.
Yeah.
And turuq. And it doesn't matter if the tariq is a little longer. It's what matters is the view on the tariq.
Yeah.
So as long as the destination is clear. When I spoke to them, I said most people confuse two things: the destination and the journey.
Yeah.
The destination you do not bargain with. The destination, it has to be very clear in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit that this is my destination. This is where I am going.
Yeah.
You bargain with the journey. Because the journey is a multiplication of small moments. And the journey, Allah Jalla Jalalu, and everything in the universe bargains also with you. Because you might rest under this tree, you might drink water from that spring, you might have a break on that gas station. It doesn't really matter. What matters is you continue on your journey. And a very important basic condition is that you must enjoy the journey. Because the destination is not your life. The destination is a threshold, is a boast. Your life is the journey. The day to day, the minute to minute.
Yeah.
And if you master this art, if you master this formula, things become amazingly satisfying.
Yeah.
I see the first thing that disappears is anxiety.
Yeah.
Because my destination is very clear and I know I'm going to reach. And I'm not negotiating and I'm not bargaining with God. I now need to fulfill my part of the deal, which taking a good journey and really enjoying it. And the only way you can enjoy a journey is by gratitude. Really. It's what Eckhart Tolle calls it being in the moment.
Yeah.
Because in reality, your life is nothing but a sequential of nows. There is nothing called tomorrow. There is nothing called yesterday.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. It is now. It is this moment.
Yes.
And it is how it what makes the journey a journey is living the now. Did I make any sense?
Yeah, you made a lot. I love how we speak the same. You did make a lot of sense, because I'll say things like that and I'll be like, did I make sense? Yeah, no, you make perfect sense. I think also, so when you were saying when your final destination is set in stone and you don't bargain and waver with it, the first thing that happens is that the anxiety dissipates or disappears. That's a beautiful thing to say, because I think the thing that people struggle with most, and God knows I have a lot, is that moment of where the anxiety dissipates. Because it's easy for me to just say, okay, this is my destination, I trust God, but still feel a little uneasy, still feel a little anxious. You know what I mean? And for me, one of the things that kind of really humbles me and just makes me laugh at myself is, how are you so untrusting of a God who has never let you down? Because I really think about the trajectory of my life and everything that I've ever been through, everything that has ever happened to me, that continues to happen to me, that I've done to people, all of it, all of these little accumulations that are the totality of my life. And he's never let me down, ever, you know? So how can I say that I trust in him and I believe in him and I keep going back to him? Why do you keep going back to God? Because he's never let you down. Because you are the one who moves far away and then you remember, oh, I have a God who's never let me down. I'm the one who continuously lets myself down and lets him down. So it's interesting that that's the thing that'll have the anxiety go away from me. When I really sit in calmness and I'm like, bro, he's never let you down. What are you doing?
I think it is in my WhatsApp, what do you call it? The photo.
Your picture?
Yeah.
Let me check that out.
وَلَنَا فِي اللَّهِ ظَنٌ لَا يَخِيبٌ.
Yeah.
And
this is Dad's little display picture for anyone asking. It's a little quote. Is it a hadith?
No, it is not, Baba.
It's not an ayah.
It is not, Habibti. It's so poetic that I think it is part of a poem or a part of... it's just that I'm
just
attached to it.
Just part of Muslim literature, let's say.
Yes, I cannot trace it back to the one who said it.
That's fine.
And it doesn't really matter too much. It's just... It really radiates everything that we said. وَلَنَا فِي اللَّهِ ظَنٌ لَا يَخِيبٌ.
Translate it.
Can you?
We've talked about this before. I think it's, and we have
إِنَّ ظَنِّي فِيكَ لَحَسَنٌ, which means the way I view you.
Yeah, so it's how I see you, how I think of you. So we have the way we view God is that he never disappoints.
Yeah.
I think would be the best way to translate it.
وَلَنَا فِي اللَّهِ ظَنٌ لَا يَخِيبٌ. Like our trust and faith and see the word done here is
yeah, very deep.
Very deep.
Yeah, but yeah, it never disappoints, never lets you down.
Al hadith al-sharif yaqul ana 'inda husni
dhanni 'abdi bi.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. It's hadith qudsi.
Nah. So here, dhan means the way you view God, the way you visualize him, the way you think of him, the way you manifest your relationship or his relationship with you.
Yeah.
Jalla Jalalu. And it's actually a rephrasing of the hadith. It's a poetic rewriting of the hadith.
Yeah, I think it's pretty great.
You know, I came and I had something in my mind that I wanted to ask you if we can talk about
it. Is it what you told me when we were sitting outside?
Yeah.
We can discuss it because I think it ties into what we're already saying.
I am kind of disturbed, is the right word, maybe.
Did something happen?
No. I watch people. I do not watch with a judgmental eye most of the time.
I do. You know why? Because Sheikh Hamza Yusuf says judgment is protection. We all judge in certain ways, but it's not a judgment of I think I'm better than you. It's a judgment of I'm assessing the safety of approach, how much I should allow, how much I shouldn't allow. I think we've notoriously ruined the word judgment.
Yeah, we did. When I said not in a judgmental way, it's not in a way that
an egotistical and I'm better than you.
I am better than you.
I get it.
Into kafir and a mu'min, into salih and a fasid.
No, God forbid.
That's the judgment I am talking about. But it's the lack of shame and the lack of shamefulness in behavior, in attitude, in code of conduct.
Did you watch something or did something happen? Because I watched something. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about it. But there's this comedian called Andrew Schultz and he has a podcast called Flagrant I'm sure you've seen the clips, and his co-host, his name is Akash, I believe he's Indian. of Indian background.
He's green Punjabi, eyes, Punjabi Indian.
Not entirely sure, but a handsome young man married to what I thought was also a beautiful woman. Oh my God. Listen, I like to give people grace. She went on the show and she explained like, no, I thought it meant this and I was just being and I was just, but I'm just like, this is one of the reasons where I'm like, bring back shame, because as women and even as men, why are you being vulgar and saying things like poppin' whatever? I'm not even going to say it because they're going to clip me and go like, Layla was saying.
Those are not jokes.
They're not
jokes.
We are
men and we know when women lost their shame.
But there are things you don't joke about just out of respect when you're in a partnership. I see these celebrities say things like, yeah, I'm with him now, but who knows, in 5-10 years, I could be with someone else. I could be living my best single life. I could be married to a woman. I'm just like, have you no shame? Your children will grow up and see this. By the way, flip the script. Had he been on a show saying, yeah, I'm with her now, but who knows, in 10 years, I could be with someone 20 years younger, they would have come for the jugular. But it's this... this insane, in this fight for freedom for women, they've become so shameless and so I don't like watching it. Something about it rubs my soul the wrong way, where I'm like, God did not intend this for us, therefore I reject it.
Is it the art or the deceit of calling things what they are not? Decay and immorality now is called freedom.
But what if this is what they actually are now?
It is happening. Unfortunately, it's also invading us. Like as an elderly man in my 60s, I see shame in the smallest things. I see it in the way you look at others and the others look at you. I see it when you start, when you're waiting for an elevator to get in or out. I see it when you... It goes in everything. You see, it's unfortunate. I don't know how to say this without offending a whole nation. A whole ummah.
The Muslims?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'll say it. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf said it. Muslims are losing their dignity. He said it.
I will go back to the kalam Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi al-kiram. Al-haya'u min al-iman. Al-haya'u min al-iman.
How do you translate haya'?
Haya' is shamefulness. Hiya, you know, the word hiya came from Arabic and it's found in, it's the same word found in Indonesian, in Malaysian, in Tagalog. It's hiya, they call it hiya. We call it haya'.
Okay.
The other hadith is inna li kulli dinin khuluq wa khuluq al-islam al-haya. If you have no haya, you have no faith, no iman. If you have no haya, you claim being a Muslim and you're not.
But isn't it interesting that with this like new age spirituality that came from like white people, the thing is, let go of shame. Don't be ashamed. This is your experience. You shouldn't feel shame.
That's not spirituality.
But isn't that interesting? Because shame was like the biggest thing, where it's like, you should never feel shame for who you are. You should never feel shame for anything that you've done. And I understand the sentiment of don't beat yourself up and allow yourself to grow and prosper and do better. But this concept of don't feel shame has allowed people to do the most heinous, hedonistic of things.
Yes, no.
And just go like, no, this is my freedom. I'm taking back control of my life. This is female empowerment. Bring back shame. Feel ashamed.
Although the epidemic of lack of shame is manifested way more in women.
But
let me tell you, men are also losing shame, because being ashamed to do things and say things and react, there are many different levels of shame.
Yeah.
The highest of them, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ.
To not be ashamed of God? Not ashamed of God, sorry, ashamed in front of God.
Allah, yes, yes. The highest of them, when a man or a woman says, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ. Nobody's seeing you. You're just between you and God.
But they don't say it. They behave it.
They behave it and say it. If someone asks for something wrong, and they're like, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ.
So I've never heard someone say that.
Of course, I did. This is, maybe you never heard it in our kind of
day-to-day life. In English, I've never heard someone go like, I'm not ashamed to do this in front of God. I've seen them behave as such. Because that to me is subhanAllah, I was talking to Nof and Sabrina about this, that the one thing that I care about, I don't care if you pray five times a day. It means nothing to me. I care if you fear God. Because I've seen people pray five times a day, fast Ramadan, do in outwardly what you're meant to do, but are really some of the worst of people I've ever had the displeasure of meeting. But to me, what I care about is, do you genuinely fear God? And that shows through your actions, through how you treat others, through how you make others feel, how others behave around you. It shows in so many different ways. But just the practice of doing things just for the sake of doing it, it means nothing to me.
If haya is missing, what follows is being anxious, fear of God, and then definitely love of God.
Okay, wait. Just so we don't get lost in the sauce, what is making you say this? Give a proper example or go on your 10-minute monologue.
One of them is how women dress and men.
Okay.
One of them... This overexposure. You know, Baba, I don't
mind. You and I both know that you know that I know that you know that I've told you a million times about this before.
Yes. You know, there was a time where a woman dresses in a certain way, she would be accused of being whatever. I don't want to use the word. Nowadays, it's almost everyone is like even in our societies, the borders of haya, the borders of that, no, this is a line that should not be crossed. This is going to affect me, affect my life, affect my family. It's eroding.
Adham sent me, subhanAllah, a video about this. He literally sent it to me yesterday about Muhammad Ali talking about this. Stanna. Okay.
Rahmatullah Ali, what a man.
Okay.
What's wrong with miniskirts? What's wrong with hot pants?
Number one, I have a wife and she's walking around skirt up to here. And then what's happening? Well, why don't I want everybody to see her? What's a man? I mean, people looking and winking and lusting for her, all kind of freaks and no good people on the streets. Why don't I want my wife? She came down on because her panties show off, the wind blew. Horses show the behind. Cows and animals and mules. Human beings don't walk around with the behind out. Savages walk around with the behinds out. And my wife's behind ain't for every man to look at. You understand? So it makes a lot of sense. So how can I protect my woman if I'm walking down, she's half naked and some sadist run up and grab her? Hell, I shouldn't have put out there. If I got merchandise I want to sell, I put them in the window for you to see. So if I want my wife, why don't everybody see my wife? What's private? What's mine? Everybody looking at her. Give me what's wrong with it. How can you have a wife or somebody you love? Anything God made precious, nature hides it. You cannot find diamonds easy. You have to dig and dig and dig.
So I thought that was really beautiful. My trainer said this to me, Adam, I love him. But basically this interviewer was asking him, Muhammad Ali, what's wrong with it that a woman wears whatever she wants? And I love that he referenced animals and mules and savages. They walk around with their behind up and out. My cat, when she's in heat, just, you know what I mean? Tail up and looking for it. And he compared this lack of modesty to savage behavior, which he's entirely right. And he said, as a man, like, why would I want people lusting after her? And I think this is something that we have truly forgotten as an ummah. The gaze, not in lust, in envy, in desire, that energy is so beyond powerful and it really affects your soul and your life. It has a direct impact on the state of your soul. And he ended it by saying, when something is pressure, by itself nature hides it. You go mining for gold and for diamonds and then you have to spend the time to clean it up. And I thought that was very interesting, you know, the reference, the direct mirror of nature with how we are, because God sends signs. Everything he's done is by design. And nowadays you'll have people tell you, Muhammad Ali, misogynist. They'll come out and they'll say he's a misogynist.
He hates women. He's by far one of the wisest men that walked this earth.
I agree. He's a beautiful
man.
And
you know who's the other extremely wise man?
Who?
The other boxer, what is his name?
Mike Tyson. Love him. I really like him.
That man with his phenomenal physical strength,
is beast of a man.
Beast of a man.
Yeah.
He is really one of the wisest I've listened to.
I really enjoy hearing him speak.
And this is why wisdom is a God-given thing.
I agree.
وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Where did he learn this? What school did he go to?
Yeah.
That was given.
But can I say something in relation to Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali? This is why I'm such a big advocate for put men in martial arts. The way, the discipline, the strength. Even Ishmael, we've spoken about him before. Islam?
The fighter?
What's his name?
MMA?
I've spoken about him. It's one of our most viral videos. Habib.
Habib. Uh-huh.
Habib. Uh-huh. Okay. But yeah, in relation to Habib, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, there's something so magical about a spiritual connection to God. And then as a man being in a type of martial arts, I'm a huge advocate, forever will be, put your boys in martial arts, teach them discipline. There's something about a commitment like that, the discipline, the strength, the long-term commitment, because you don't get good overnight. It's day in and day out. That paired with a deep spiritual respect and understanding to God, nothing can beat you. There's nothing in this world that can stop you.
You know, it is actually part of the adab and the sunnah to teach your children how, especially the males, how to do wrestling, which is the modern form day of
different martial arts, yeah.
And to learn how to throw
archery, yeah.
And also sword.
To wield a sword, yes. Yeah. Wield.
It's part of the sunnah.
SubhanAllah.
And كمان one of the hadith, this applies here and applies in way much more. اخشوشنوا فإن النعم لا تدوم.
I don't know what.
Rough it up. Always. Especially for men. Stay rough. Because the nature of ni'mah is the bliss and yes. The abundance. It's not lasting, it's cyclic.
Cyclical?
See, it's cyclical. Look, you know, most people don't know. Like now we look at our beloved country, Somalia. And it's divided, civil war for 30 years.
Somalia?
Yeah.
It
was one of the leading, most prosperous coastal countries in the world. Okay. The wealth in Somalia. By the way, the intellectualism and what we call
But you create scholars. New words and it makes me forget what the original word was.
The scholars were in that area were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's why the Italians wanted to go and occupy that area because of all the wealth there. Now, it's cyclic. It's now one of the poorest countries in the world. So this cyclic life, this cycle of abundance and need is part of the trajectory of humanity.
No.
On an individualistic level and on family level and sometimes on nations. So we need to always stay kind of slightly rough. Enjoy the abundance, enjoy the bliss, but don't get overindulged into it.
Yes. Back to your shame, the way women dress.
Yeah, back to the shame. It's you know, nothing destroys societies. I believe that the glue that keeps societies together.
Women.
Is the shame that is.
Who said the beginning of the downfall of a nation is the... Is it the looseness of women? It's the... There's something along those lines.
Yeah, I...
Let me check. Talk, I'll check.
No. You check. I know I read this, and it is actually very, very true. If you want to destroy a society...
Yeah.
Allow women... To go out of social leash.
I don't know if I can find the... What is happening? I don't know if I can find the quote right now. I need to sit and look for it. But yeah, I read something like that. You know, I was... I don't know if I can say this, but I was at the gym. And there was a lady dressed quite unnecessarily provocatively. It was just too much. And I'm with my trainer. And this girl bends down. And her entire behind is in my face. And I was like, why am I being assaulted at the gym right now? I'm just here trying to work out with my trainer, trying to get a good sweat in, have my protein, go home. Why am I being exposed to something so just unnecessarily vulgar? I didn't feel good about it. God knows my trainer didn't feel good about it. We had to get up and go use a different machine. And I really sat and I thought about this and I was like, why? You're not going to be a bee catching honey. You're a fly catching garbage. This is just, it's so unnecessarily demonic that I cannot help but think it comes directly from Satan, because it's just, it's so in your face satanic.
It is.
It really is. It is. There is nothing godly about that. And a part of me wants to say, I feel bad for them. They think this is the only way to get attention. But at some point, it's your khalas. You are your own adult and your own human. And there's enough out there for you to know this isn't the right way. When has this ever worked?
And it's funny when most of those women claim that they have value. And they want everyone to appreciate the value. But the only thing you are offering there is your nudity.
But I wish I was exaggerating. Like... it was not a nice scene. Like, it's not even something you would see at a pool. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just a little too much. Not a little, it was a lot too much. It was just, I didn't like it.
You as a woman didn't like it. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure there are some men that, like, got a nice little fun time and a look.
I actually, most men will find that offensive. Most men.
If he's an actual man. But there are some wounded masculines that will go for things like this, which I understand. I don't approve. Like, once again, I feel like I always have to preface this. Me saying I understand something does not mean I accept or approve of it. I can understand a lot of hedonistic behavior. I can understand a lot of behavior from men and women that comes from really broken, demonic places. I can understand why certain things transpire. I will never, not even if hell freezes over, accept or tolerate certain things.
The thing, Baba, most women don't even know what triggers men. They think... like if women are actually looking for genuine interest of men, it has to be a combination between some beauty and the more the better.
This was something I wanted to discuss.
An attitude.
Yeah. Of course, attitude is everything, I agree. But this was something, subhanAllah, I didn't even think about it the whole day, but I was thinking about it before when I knew we were going to come film. Because Dania and I were discussing this about how we really don't know what men want and what they like and what they don't like. And as women, if I'm being honest, most of them don't even bother to figure it out. We kind of assume this is what a man wants and what he likes. And then we kind of shove it down their throats like, no, but this is what you like. But we don't even bother asking them. I think also in defense of women, most of these men are in their wounded masculine. So even if you try to figure out what they want or they tell you, it's not even really what they want. Everyone's lost the plot. It's really just gone off the rails.
I might agree with you to a certain distance.
To a certain extent. To begin with, I started with women don't even bother getting to know what men want. But then I will say there's also, I've seen people a lot nowadays post about the woman who's nice to you and would be a great wife and who's so deeply embedded in God, she's also the nice guy who finishes last. Because there's a saying that says nice guys finish last. Well, that kind of woman also finishes last, but we're not ready to have this conversation. Because I have seen men meet a God-fearing, really beautiful, just gentle soul who complements his strengths, you know? But he's too busy being a wounded masculine and chasing another tail that he doesn't even see that. So also these women are not finding the good man who's willing to go the mile with her. I said what I said.
Alhamdulillah, I think the correction has to come one to one. Do the right thing and definitely the right thing will come to you. It's you know, traditionally speaking, women learned how to take care of children from watching their own mothers, their aunties, their grandma, everybody around taking care of children.
Yeah.
I have experienced this. I saw a woman that doesn't know, they know nothing.
Zilch, I know.
Zilch about taking care, nothing. It's only thoughts. The other thing is, I remember I told you once about the advice that one Arab woman gave to her daughter on the wedding night. It's a beautiful, long advice. It's in very classic Arabic.
I can't remember. Was it a video? Was it a paragraph?
I think we were talking to each other. Anyway, I will find it and try to translate some of it to you.
We can talk about it next time if you want.
And in this story,
yeah,
the daughter is the daughter of the chief of a tribe, and the chief of a tribe before is almost like a sheikh or a king now.
Naam.
And she's married to another man, and the mother is telling her that we are not giving you in marriage because we cannot feed you and take care of you. This is not out of poverty or need.
Okay.
This is out of, and then she tells her what is the right of the husband on her, how she should smell, how she should look, how she should eat, how she.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's amazing how detailed that prescription and the advice was. She left nothing. Nowadays, women, most young women are worried about, are seeking a wedding, not a marriage.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
And it's about the arrangement and the photos. It's not about the life. And they go unprepared with a long list of things that they want, but nothing of what they are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the heaviest part of it on a man is when he's told what he wants without being asked.
Yeah.
And the level of gaslighting, blaming, belittling, accusation, mental and emotion and manipulation when just a simple man says, "I this is what I want."
I know. There's this lady, I need to find her name, but I haven't finished watching the full video. But she's quite a beautiful, soft-spoken elderly woman, and she was just talking about how surveys that she's done with men and what men want and what men need and all of that, and it really got me thinking about this whole bare minimum versus princess treatment trend. So they ask a man, if you do this for a girl, is it bare minimum or princess treatment? Open the door for her, tie her shoelaces, blah blah blah. And I understood at first the sentiment of, yeah, it is a bare minimum for a man to open the door for you, but it's, the trend has lost itself so far deep, as it always does, that it's become bare minimum with this haughty attitude and no sense of gratitude. Because even if someone does the bare minimum for you, yeah, sure, if you care about me and love me, do the bare minimum, and vice versa, I will do the bare minimum, but I expect gratitude in return, the same way I would be grateful that you'd consider the little things. This lack of gratitude with everything that transpires is what I will never be okay with. It's this, the simplest of things. You are my father, and there are things as my father, because أنا برأ بتك at the end of the day in front of God, that you have to do for me. I am still grateful. I am so grateful. I will forever be grateful to you, to God, all the time, just in the state of gratitude. And also, why not? Being in a state of gratitude is a great thing. So subhanAllah, how demonic these things are, because then they also tend to remove you from a state of gratitude and put you in a state of takabbur, which is what the first sin the devil committed.
استكبر وكان من الكافرين. You know, Baba, there is a contract.
A soul contract?
Every human relationship between two persons have a contract in a form or the other.
تمام.
Between a man and his daughter, there is a heavenly contract that is written. Between a daughter and her father and her mother, بر الوالدين. It's a contract.
Tamam.
And the one who pays for that contract and the one who rewards for that contract is the creator, Jalla Jalalu.
Tamam.
Now, marriage in specific is one of those contracts that are signed on earth.
Okay.
It's not very much different from any from any partnership contract. Although marriage is not a partnership, because partnership requires equality in a way or the other. It's a form of partnership. But now,
you're gonna have to specify what you're referring to there.
I will tell you. In a partnership, in a contractual agreement, there are things that you give and things that you receive.
Okay.
Conditions that you give and conditions that you receive. And this has been done. If you look at our religion,
yeah,
and if you look at history of Islam in specific, now unfairness and deviating from the right track happened, and it's a human thing.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about the original path. The contract is very clear.
Okay.
What you give and what you take.
Okay.
Nowadays, the contracts are really not clear.
No, I mean, you said marriage isn't a partnership because partnership can also mean equality, and marriage isn't that.
Yeah. If by partnership, because most of people misunderstand partnership as equality, like both two equal. No, they are not. I disagree. That's why there is... the man has to be always in leadership.
Mm.
And that's leadership tilts the quality a bit. But it does it tilts the...
But not the value. I understand.
But not the value.
Yes, okay. Both are very valuable.
Because
but not
you really cannot have two people leading a company, two people leading...
Yeah, I don't believe in the whole where two fully...
No, there is no, you know, this is the false sense of equality that brings nothing but destruction.
I agree. It's for the ego.
And
it
confusion.
Serves no purpose but making someone feel, satiating their ego, I would say.
And confusion to the child, to the society, to the individual itself. How equal we are if you're going to come to me in every small distress and ask for help.
Anywho, yeah.
you understand.
I understand, like, but also, yeah, I fully understand what you're saying, but I would just say people, things aren't what they used to be. But anyway, yeah.
You see, even in a small group of people, there's always a leader. In friends, there's always...
Of course.
In marriage, the man has to be the leader. And if you chop that tip and claim flat equality, you just destroyed the relationship.
I know. I don't think it works. I agree. But it's also, I don't know, maybe this is just my current observation based on what I've been currently surrounded by. I have not seen a man worthy of the title of a leader. And I don't say this with, oh, men are trash, because I wouldn't... Obviously, that's not what I ever say. But they're lacking.
No, Baba, you've been unfair here.
No, I'm not being unfair. Absolutely not. I'm being very fair. Now, am I saying all the women are great? No, you know my opinion on how women are today. They're not really worth marrying with the way they are. I think they just bring a lot of chaos and disaster into someone's life. But what I'm saying is I don't see a really... point me in the direction of a fully healed man, ready? God at the forefront of his mind?
What does fully healed man mean? You know, the only fully healed men around you know of are the ones who are already dead.
Okay.
That's the full healing.
But that's not, but I don't like that because that's an excuse for men not to be okay.
No, you need to be okay. Every men need to be okay.
Yeah, they do.
By representing that which is good.
Okay. But have you seen men worthy of leading?
I actually did.
Now, today, as we're sitting here.
I actually did, yes.
No,
Baba.
Absolutely. Who are single, not married.
Oh, no, I'm talking about manhood in general.
No, I'm talking about single men that I'm like, wow, mashallah, what a man. I can't wait to see what he'd be like as a husband. God bless the woman who gets to marry him.
Okay, I cannot say that they are not there because I'm not in a
process.
Have
you seen? I'm not saying they don't exist, but what I'm saying is the majority.
The majority have a problem.
Okay, so so that's what I'm saying. We're talking about leadership, and it sounds great in theory. Because in theory, yes, I would love to marry a man and be like, you lead. I will happily not be your equal. Happily. But Where? And also then haram, and I'm not saying this in a way to kick them when they're down, but they also don't really have a great example of leadership because the fathers in their life aren't present or were weak men or.
The correction is required, and this is what we're trying to do. What I am trying to do is give a path towards a bit of correction. See, as a man, I would advise all men never to settle for less than being a leader in a relationship.
But what define leader? Define leadership to them. Define leadership even to women. Define it to me. What does it mean for a man to lead?
You see, to lead is to be one step ahead. To lead is the final decision is yours. To lead is sometimes not to discuss everything with the female.
I agree.
Like that, that's too much anxiety and stress.
I agree.
Being a provider is being a leader. It's a combination of wisdom and it's a combination of knowledge and it's a combination of hard work. Leadership is not just a statue. It's actually an obligation.
What?
It's not a status.
Status, yeah.
Yeah, it's an obligation.
So that's my... This is, I think, where we had a little bit of confusion because that's my thing. I've noticed maybe a desire in men to be leaders, but by status only, not by actual initiative. And they don't even realize that that's what they're doing. They demand the respect and they demand the title of leader and do as I say and not as I do. But then when it comes to the sacrifices of being a leader, those aren't present. They're quite lacking. And leadership is sacrifice. It is.
It is actually putting everybody ahead,
ahead of you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not an egotistical advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It, and on the contrary, it can actually crush your ego.
100%.
And it can result in you losing your life because you are a protector.
Yeah.
In God forbids, kind of, in threat, in war, in that's a price to pay for it. But by the nature of things, it won't work in a relationship if the man is not the leader.
100%, I agree. But that's I also think people tend to self sabotage
all the time.
Because all the time.
You see, the as long as you have the wrong definition of the words you use and the concepts that you think you believe in, it's like navigation. You're going to end up in the wrong destination.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I was talking about the contractual agreement.
We have to wrap it up.
Between a man and a woman.
Yeah, sorry.
It is almost clear what is required from a man.
Yeah.
And he's obliged to fulfill this.
Modern day contract. Yes, I agree. And nothing's clear from a woman.
No, nothing clear from a woman's side.
I agree.
Nothing.
I agree. I fully, entirely, wholeheartedly agree.
And you know, one of the funniest kind of gymnastics or mental games
I
saw being
gymnastics.
Played with men is like when they have children and the children are young, they are always your children, the man children. The mother, the wife will always say, your children. The minute they are almost independent and are okay with themselves, they are her children. Watch it, Baba.
That's just, okay, but that's a different level of crazy. That's just, I don't like these things. We talked about this last time. We'll talk about it on the next episode. I'll end, wrap it up by saying this, that we'll talk about this next time, inshallah, hopefully. When I was on Recipe to Success podcast and I just posted the clip of even if a girl is like beating on you, just exit the situation. And you were saying, no, some women can be really, but then we went into it and you were like, I have to say you're right because I'm always right. We've discussed this. But that's a different level of crazy. I'm sorry, but if you marry someone and have kids with them and they end up being that kind of toxic, manipulative disaster, that's on you. Because that's my whole point. Back in the day, yes, you used to get married young and then have a kid really quickly. But that's what we're trying to teach people now is see the signs from the get-go. Get out. Don't marry some. Imagine I marry a man who uses my kids against me. That will not happen. Because I will stomp on my heart and my ego before I let myself get lost in a direction where I know the signs. This is where I'm saying, at some point, when you know enough, it is now on you, if you are caught in a storm, that you knew better. I know better now. That's why I don't play victim anymore, because I really do know better. When I find myself in certain situations, it's because I ignored the signs, it's because I let myself be weak, and it's because, and it's because, and it's because. I cannot blame every Tom, Dick, and Harry for the atrocities that is my life.
The systems, the society norms, what is being propagated.
We have to wrap it up, Daddy.
To us as normal nowadays is really not normal.
Yeah, I agree.
And I if agree. When the minute we start to see this, we start taking accountability and going back and trying to correct.
I agree. Because but I think you need to, I think, yeah, sorry, you said because.
Because there are no winners here. We are all losers if this is not corrected.
I agree. But anyway, thank you so much. That's sorry, we have to wrap it up.
Yeah, Habibi, Allah
hayyik. And I don't want them to come in because then I get nervous. We'll talk about more things next time. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Allah hayyik.
I love you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.